Welcome to Brunch with the Buds, where best friends dish on what's good. Brought to you by KentuckyTasteBuds.com. That's KYTasteBuds.com. Now, here are the Kentucky Taste Buds, Tamara and Lee.
Hey guys, it's Lee. Welcome to Brunch with the Buds, where two best friends talk about everything good in Kentucky, from food, fashion, events, and people. My name is Lee Roach, and I'm here with my BFF, Tamara Snyder. Hi, Tamara.
Hey, hey.
How are you doing?
I'm great.
We had a fabulous day at Keeneland yesterday.
We did,
it's
yeah.
It's coming to a close.
Yep, yep. Last weekend for Keeneland, and the sun was shining brightly, and it was a beautiful day.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. Now, today is going to be a fun show. We do not have our producer with us because his daughter is having a birthday.
Yeah.
And so Daddy needs to be with his daughter.
Yes.
Which means Tamara and I are also running the show, and we've already had to start over once.
I know.
So
yeah,
this is it. If we mess up, there's no editing. It's just what we're going to have to go with it.
Yeah. We're just going to roll with it.
Which is good because this show is called The Real McCoy.
Yeah.
Or should I say Hatfield?
Ah,
I don't know.
That's good. That's a good plug for our guest today.
That's right. Because we're going to talk about all things real and even some things that aren't real. And we're going to do our best to get through the show without making any mistakes, but it would be real.
We're keeping it real.
We're keeping it real.
Yeah, I like it.
So with that, Tamara, why don't I allow you to introduce our guest?
Okay. Well, we are really, really honored to have two of the descendants of the Hatfields and McCoys on the line with us today. We have Rio Hatfield and we have Ron McCoy. And if you know a little bit about the Hatfields and McCoys, which I think everybody in America probably does.
I think they're like royalty.
Yeah. In a strange kind of way.
Yeah.
So we're really excited to delve in a little bit into the history about the Hatfields and McCoys, the big feud, and to find out if you guys are still fighting today. So welcome, gentlemen, to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, guys, we're going to ask you a few questions about the feud and the history, and we actually do know that there is a treaty now. But before we do that, we want to kind of get a little bit of personal background on you guys. Let's start with you, Rio. How are you related to the descendants? And then tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, typically being direct Hatfield, I have my grandmother was a Hatfield and my grandfather was a Hatfield. But they were called River Hatfields and Creek Hatfields, so different people through their ancestry. But I was related to Ellis Hatfield, which is one of the ones that started in the fight that ended up mainly starting the entire feud, which is where Ellison Hatfield came to his rescue and was stabbed 27 times and shot by the McCoys at that time. And my background is I'm in business in Virginia. I live in Virginia with my wife. And I have had my own business, which is transportation logistics at Rio Distribution. And I'm presently the CEO of Rio Solutions, another transportation company.
Wow, that's fantastic. You've done pretty good for yourself.
Well, I thank you. I think one of the major things I've had in my life was being the mayor of Waynesboro, Virginia, which was an honor to serve there.
Very nice. Cool. Very cool. Okay, Ron, will you do the same and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you're related?
Sure. I'm Ron McCoy. I'm the great-great-great-grandson of Randolph and Sarah McCoy. As you know, Randolph was the patriarch of the clan during the feud. I'm a direct descendant. And it's my pleasure. In my family, I grew up really not knowing anything about the history. I was 35 years old before I discovered I was related. And not only was I related, but I was a direct descendant. And that it came about for a couple of strange reasons, but McCoys just didn't talk about the feud. My grandfather was born and raised in Pikeville, got drafted in World War II and settled in North Carolina. And my dad was the first generation not to be born in Pike County in about 150 years. And so both were in the service. My dad was in the service. He lived all over the world. And we just didn't talk about it. I knew my grandfather was from Eastern Kentucky. But that's all I knew. And when I was 35, I came across a book that his aunt had written that had some of the genealogy in the back. And it also had the story of the feud from the McCoy's point of view. And that was a real life-changing moment for me. That's what started me. My first trip to Pikeville was in 98, and I got with a cousin, met him online, and we started the first, we did the first national reunion with families in 2000, and that's what started it all for me. As far as my professional background, I'm a government finance officer. I work for one of the counties here in North Carolina, and that's what I do for a living.
All right.
So you're also doing very well. So we're going to really just get down to it. Rio, you started to talk a little bit about the feud, and I went and did some research on my own. And if I get anything wrong, please let us know. But from what it looked like to me, it started off with two patriarchs of the family, William Anderson Hatfield on the Hatfield side, which was also known as Devil Ants. Am I saying that right?
That's correct. Devil Ants.
That's a scary name.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why that name came about, and no one's really confirmed exactly what it was. But he actually was a captain of the Confederate Army, and he led the Devil Brigade. And so they think that's the majority of things where that came from, was Devil Ants from the Devil Brigade. And even Randolph McCoy served with him in the Army, Confederate Army, under him as captain. So that's, we believe that's where it came from.
Oh, that's really interesting. And I heard that Randolph, Ron, was referred to as Old Rannell. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Old Rannell, or some variation thereof. There's some different spellings of it. It's interesting because typically there were a lot of redundant names in the family, a lot of Williams, you know, and that kind of thing. And so they distinguished them. Everybody had a nickname. There are not too many Randolphs in the all of the whole line. So it's interesting they called him Old Randall. But part of that came about, I think, because he was 14 years older than Devil Ants.
Oh.
And in those days, in the 1880s, that was a generation. You know, he was 14 years older, so you're not talking about two equals. Randolph was very much a senior, and Devil Ants was sort of this up-and-coming entrepreneur, timber guy, and the Hatfields were very industrious. They were doing a lot of business on both sides of the river, and so yeah, Old Randall, I think, just distinguished that he was, you know, much older than his counterpart.
I love hearing these little nuances of history. It's really cool because you can read the stories, but you don't get that kind of information. It's so cool. Now, both families lived along the Tug Fork of the Big Sandy River between Kentucky and West Virginia. And I read that the first event in the feud happened in 1865 with the murder of Randolph's brother, Asa Harmon McCoy, which was done by, I guess, a group called the Logan Wildcats. And Devil Ants was, I guess, a member of that. But I also read that even though that was kind of the first incident, that it may not have been really because of a feud. Can you guys verify that? Either one of you, Rio or Ron.
Okay, I'll take it, Rio. The killing of Asa Harmon McCoy, he fought for the Union, one of the rare individuals in the Tug Valley that went and fought for the Union. And he actually owned two house slaves, so it's kind of odd. Randolph did not own slaves, but he fought for the Confederacy. So it really was a war that set brother against brother. When Asa Harmon McCoy was wounded in battle and returned home, and there was a local home guard unit, the Logan Wildcats, comprised of former Army members or just local militia, that their job, they took care of their own. They took care of their families, took care of their property. And unfortunately, they also took care of Asa Harmon McCoy. One reason that didn't really start the feud, I believe, is that Randall McCoy was captured and was held in a Union prison camp for 2 years. So he was away being incarcerated. So it was 13 years following that before anything happened. So it was very quiet after that. So typically, historically, that's mentioned as the first action of the feud, but it's not quite the start of the feud.
Yeah, okay. And so then that brings us to the time period of the infamous pig. which when I read this, it made a little bit more sense because I guess what happened is that I saw that Stanton McCoy was married to a Hatfield, and there's this testimony about this, I guess, stealing of the pig, which back then was a huge commodity. Like today we think of a pig and we think, what's the big deal? But back then it was a big deal. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Ron?
Well, I equated it recently. Somebody asked me about it, and I said, what if someone came up into your driveway and took your Cadillac, took your car? You know, how much is that brand new car of value to you? And a pig in those days would have fed a family probably for a year. They would have preserved the meat, smoked it, and kept it. So it was a very valuable asset. It was also an incursion into McCoy territory because Hatfield lived on the West Virginia side, and had they chosen to stay there and not do business across the river, we never would have had a feud to be talking about. So it was really personal for Randolph McCoy because, you know, it was like for the first time, you know, it brought back sort of the memories of his brother being slain. They were coming into his territory, and they took his property. He was convinced it was his pig.
Yeah. And, Rio, do you have any more to add to that?
No, the only thing that I would suggest to you to say is that these pigs ran loose, but they were only, the only way to identify them really was by notching of the ears or something to that effect. And the biggest problem on both sides, really, and it is a good problem in a way, is that people would give things away to anybody as a friend, but none of them, Hatfields or McCoys, wanted anybody to take something away from them. That was offensive, and that wasn't going to be tolerated. So that's why they ended up in court.
Yeah, interesting. And then the testimony was essentially, I guess, thrown out, and they got off, right? Because there was a marriage where, is it Stanton who was married to, Stanton was married to a Hatfield, am I saying that right? And
well,
he just, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He's the one that brought it up, said it was a Hatfield pig, and that, so it was stock. There were six McCoys and six Hatfields on the jury and a Hatfield judge on top of that. So it upset Randolph McCoy because he felt like he was absolutely accurate. And they actually threw a rock at Bill at that time. And then later, a couple of 3 months later, he ended up dead for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And didn't they claim it was self-defense or something?
Yeah, they were actually acquitted on the grounds of self-defense. Sam McCoy was a nephew of Randolph, and fired the shot and killed him. But believe it or not, the Devil Ants had a lot of influence on that jury, and for the sake of the peace, sort of, you know, expressed his opinion that he should be, you know, acquitted, and he was. So that's quite remarkable. I will say it's important in the pig trial to know the swing vote was a McCoy, Selkirk McCoy. He's sort of been the Judas of our family for a long time. But Selkirk McCoy actually was employed and worked for Devil Ants Hatfield. So he thought it was in his best interest to vote on the side of the Hatfields, and did.
Yeah, that's, of course he did. He wanted to save his job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how did the saga continue from there? What happened next in the feud? And that question can be for Ron or Rio.
Okay, I'll take it first. The biggest, in 1882, there's a local election, and at that time, it's sort of the first action. The three McCoy boys, Ron McTolbert and Randolph McCoy Jr., got into a fight with Ellison Hatfield, who was the brother of Devil Ants. And nobody knows exactly why that happened. There was an argument earlier during the day. Elias Hatfield accused McCoys or he was accused by the McCoys of owing $2 for a fiddle. There's lots of stories in the family history. But for whatever reason, they got in a tussle with Elson Hatfield. and he was stabbed 27 times, and then shot in the back and still didn't die.
Wow.
And he was taken back across the river, and the Hatfields rounded up the three boys and kept him. And Sarah McCoy made the trip across the river and pleaded for the lives of her sons. And Governor Lance Hatfield said, you know, it depends on my brother. If my brother lives, they live. And then he committed that there would be no McCoy blood shed on West Virginia soil. So when Allison dies, they carry the boys across the river into Kentucky, tie them to some pawpaw bushes, and execute them. And that is really the shot heard around the world as far as their families are concerned.
Right.
And Rio, then what happened after that? Because it didn't stop there.
Oh, no, it continued for a long time. And there was so much hard feelings out of that, obviously, because there was a lot of Hatfields that had friends that were McCoys, and same in the reverse, the McCoys had Hatfield friends. So it was very controversial as to who was what at the time. And so it was very hard to conduct normal business with those attitudes in place. But the fact that the murder of Ellison and then the murder of the three McCoys was the beginning of the feud, and then actions beyond that were taken over by not only the Hatfield family and the McCoy family, but friends, relations, or partner relationships with the Hatfields and McCoys got involved. So there's a lot of people involved beyond the Hatfield McCoys, but been representatives of the Hatfield McCoy group.
Well, this is just fascinating. So then I read that they were trying to, I guess there were 20 people that were indicted for the killings, but that I guess they somehow, the charges got dropped and then they were reinstated. And then I read that, I guess, Devil Ants had gone and what was it called? The New Year's Massacre occurred. Can you talk about that a little bit, Rio?
Go ahead, Ron.
Only because for me this is the most personal. January 1, 1888. It was a New Year's Eve. A lot of liquor and liquid courage going around, and the Hatfields just finally were done because posses for years had been coming into West Virginia trying to round them up. You know, all these warrants were existing, and so they decided that if Randolph McCoy was out of the picture, the feud would be over. And so a party, maybe 15 or 20 men, attacked the cabin in the wee hours of the night. There was prolonged gunfire, and if you tried to shoot at a log cabin, you know, it's hard to penetrate logs with the weapons. So, unfortunately, they set it on fire with the family inside, assuming the McCoys would come out eventually, and they did. Alifair McCoy, a daughter, was killed, as well as the son, Calvin, was also killed. Sarah McCoy, my great-great-great-grandmother, ran out to see her daughter and was beaten with the butt of a rifle to the point of death. She did not die. She died several years later from those wounds, but it's a very tragic time that Calvin, we go to that home site every year on a Sunday and have a unity service every year. I have been doing it for many years. So that's kind of a sacred site for us and a sacred time. And for my family, it's one of the darkest days of the feud.
Yeah, and of course, I think I read that at this time it started to get national attention, and that now the Hatfields were really on the spot, and so there ended up being a trial that I read that went all the way to the Supreme Court. Can you tell us about that, Rio?
Yes, I can. What happened was the governor of Kentucky, I wrote the governor of West Virginia and said, I will line the Tug River with 1,000 troops.
Wow.
It got to that level. And the response from the governor of West Virginia was, line the Tug River with 1,000 troops, and at daybreak, 1,000 Kentuckians will lay dead.
Wow.
So that's why the Supreme Court came in and gave no jurisdiction of either state over the feud because it was that serious. There was a lot of influence in politics by the McCoys and a lot of influence from the Hatfields, and even had a governor. So they were very much involved with politics at the same time. And this feud was becoming national because it was the media had exploited it a little bit to the point where everybody knew what was going on, and they made up some things, but for the most part, it was accurate.
Hmm. So what was the outcome of the Supreme Court trial?
What happened, what they did is Plant Mayhem was one of the Hatfields who was arrested, and Abner Justice was the jailer of the Pike County Jail. And basically they sued saying he was being illegally incarcerated because he was a West Virginia citizen. He'd been arrested illegally by bounty hunters. And the Supreme Court actually sided with the bounty hunters. And that ruling still prevails today. There are bounty hunters that can cross state lines and international, go into countries and round up individuals and bring them back. So the bounty hunters, that sort of legal jurisdiction came about as a result of that case.
Wow. Wow. I did not know that. This
How many times
crazy.
Have you said, wow?
I know. I'm like, wow. There's something about reading this stuff versus hearing it from people who are actually related to family members. This is so awesome.
Yeah.
Now, did the feud kind of end there? I mean, did it kind of die out at that point?
Well, in 1890, and Rio can elaborate, they had the last public hanging in Pike County, Kentucky, and they hanged an Tom Mounts. It was the illegitimate son of Ellison Hatfield, and he was an absolutely innocent man, mentally disabled, but he was persuaded to confess to killing Alifair McCoy at the cabin when it was attacked. And everybody involved knew he was innocent, and yet they hanged him for the crime. He was the literal scapegoat, and that was the end of the feud, historically. That's when it ended in 1890.
Wow. Wow. Rio, did you want to add any more to that? Or?
Yeah, I'd like to add that that's where we came into place, and that's the one thing that we wanted, Ron and I want to be, have the family remembered, because we came together. We recognized the issues of the past. We recognized the foolishness of some of the things that happened and the sad things that happened. But we also recognized the fact that things will happen and you have to get over it. You know, we said in the Associated Press together, we would say sometimes you have to fight, but nobody has to fight forever.
Right.
And so we decided it was time to officially end the truce, and so that was what we did. We came together, and when we had the celebration or the life of Sarah McCoy is at the McCoy place, and then Hatfields and McCoys come to it because we are one family now because of the truce. Ron and I are like brothers, and we will stay that way for the rest of our lives. We are that close, and that's what we came together to do. Show people we could be and would be as Americans, one family.
I absolutely love this. And you all even went so far as to create a document, a treaty, correct? A proclamation declaring peace.
Yes. I've got it in front of me right now.
Oh, tell us about that, Rio.
Well, it says that united we stand as Americans against any opposing foe to our freedom. Our family stand as a symbol of unity to let the world know that we will not allow our freedom to be taken from us. We stand together to oppose any force that would threaten our country, a country made up of all people, all nations, and a common bond of freedom. And do affirm by signatures affixed below that the injuries and wrongdoings inflicted to and by our ancestors in years past are now committed henceforth to history. And from this day forward, the Hatfield and McCoy stand together, united, forever bound by the pride of our sacred heritage and legacy, and we ask by God's grace and love that we be forever remembered as those that bound together the hearts of two families to form a family of freedom in America. That's what we signed.
That's amazing. And what I love about this, guys, is the it's so appropriate for what is going on in our country today. We're so divided, and there's such hatred among, you know, everybody, political party, race, all of that stuff. And so I think this is a great, great example and a very timely message for all of us today to say, you can be at odds with people, but at some point you got to lay all of that stuff down. And in the end, we're all Americans. We all want the same things,
correct,
pursuit of life, happiness, all of that kind of stuff. And so you all have led the way with that. And one thing I hope that comes out of this podcast is people listen to it, because I think the story of the Hatfield and McCoys is heard, but I don't think that it's understood, and it's not understood in the context to how it is applicable to today. And I think that's a problem with the teaching of history. A lot of the times the events are very remote, and there's not the application. How does this apply to today, to our society? And I think this is a prime example of how people can be united even after a difficult time or a time of hatred or whatever. So kudos to you guys for doing that. What about the events that you have now in Pikeville? Tell us about that.
Okay, I'll let Ron start that. Okay, thank you, Rio. Yeah, we have been blessed to continually, annually get together in Pikeville. We've this year, 2019, was our 20th year of doing this. And Rio and I both were fortunate enough, Pike County Tourism, Tony Tackett there, they gave us both humanitarian awards this year. And that's the first official award I've ever received for work we've done with Hatfield and McCoy. So it was really an honor. But it, you know, I say it every time we get together that this is important. When the Hatfield and McCoys get together in unity and peace and fellowship and we love each other, I always stress that it's important. It's important. Important. We signed the truce in 2003, and now here we are in 2019, and I'm saying, look, this is more important than ever. And if the Hatfields and McCoys can do this, anybody can do this.
Right.
And so it's vitally important. We continue to get together. We're going to celebrate September 18th in 2020. It's going to be our 20th anniversary. And we hope to do some things to honor what the families have done in the last 20 years. But
is that open?
Ron. It's a bit of an oxymoron that half of the McCoys represent peace, but we're honored to do so.
Is that open to outsiders? Do other people come and celebrate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. It really is open to the public, and it's vitally important. Whether it's politics or religion or whatever it is, we find things to separate ourselves, like, you know, in our current society. And it's not just our; it's all over the world. It's just like the world's in turmoil, and you know, we and I want to say, look at us, look at what our history is, and look what the families are today.
Very well said.
By example.
Yeah, Rio, do you have anything you want to add to that before we let you go?
Yes, I would say that I'm so proud to say that Ron McCoy and Bo McCoy gave me the award, and that was special to my heart. And the name of the award is the Real McCoy.
Oh, I
okay,
love that.
So that tells you how close we are. And I want you to know that Ron and I gave shotguns to President Bush, Governor Patton, and Governor Joe Manchin, signed by us, signifying the truce and the ending of the feud. And the final thing that was great, that we had no idea being done, the Templeton Group came out and did a study, and they came back and reported that the 10 greatest acts of forgiveness in world history, 10 greatest acts of forgiveness in world history, was the Hatfield. One of them was the Hatfield and McCoy signing the official truce, formally ending the century-old feud. And we were honored because on that list was Nelson Mandela.
Wow.
And Pope Paul II and Jesus Christ, which we don't deserve to be anywhere near his name, but we were honored that we were associated with his name. So Ron and I are very proud of that, and the success that came to the Hatfield McCoys, because we want to teach, like Ron said, the world, the Far East, why fight forever when you haven't done anything to change the results? We could, you know, it needs to be ended. And that's what we say, stand for freedom. We love each other, and we believe that Christ is the answer to that. So.
Well, we love that. We absolutely love that. And we completely agree with you. So congratulations on achieving what you have achieved here through this truce and bringing the two families together. And I'm glad you're getting the recognition you deserve, because it is, and it's just so needed, right? We need to see examples of people forgiving and moving on and being positive. So kudos to you guys. And again, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be on the show today. And we just hope everybody will take a different look, take a fresh perspective on the story of the Hatfields and McCoys. Thanks, guys. We hope you have a great day.
You guys are awesome.
We just love you so much.
So appreciate it.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye now.
Bye. I am just blown away. So you are the history buff.
Totally.
You're totally the history buff. And I'm really not. But I always love a good story, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think that's what you love about history is the story.
Yes.
And it's just hard for me to get to sometimes. But today we got to it.
Yeah, we got to it today with that firsthand account.
Yeah.
Well, not firsthand account. But anytime you deal with history, it's so important to try to get as close to the actual event mm-hmm. through documentation or testimony or witnessing or whatever. That's you're going to be your best information. It gets watered down. It gets changed, as you know.
And what I loved is you had two people on opposite sides of the spectrum in a feud back in the day.
Yeah.
But they really agree today on the facts. And
right.
So when they tell the story, you don't see one person trying to sway one perspective or one point of view. They really have come together and told one solid story.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, I love it. So those guys are amazing.
So remember that if you're ever mad at me. which she may have gotten a little mad at me yesterday, and deservedly so. Just remember this true example of the Hatfield and McCoys.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. And it's so nice to see feuds end. You know, now they have parties together, reunions, celebrations. I think we definitely need to go to that next year.
I definitely do.
It's on my birthday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great way to celebrate my birthday.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, I bet they even spend the holidays together and exchange gifts. And, well, we know just the place to pick up a nice present. LV Harkness is located downtown. They have everything you need for the holidays, plus a ton of unique gifts made by local artists and craftsmen. They also have a beautiful dining decor, all kinds of Jalisco, they carry that line. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And it's perfect for a large reunion or a dinner party. They also have monogramming, embroidery, engraving. I mean.
Yeah, and they're actually getting ready to have their holiday open house.
Yeah, y'all need to get down to there because they're going to have refreshments.
Yep.
I mean. Do you need a better reason to go?
Look, that's why Tamara's so excited.
I
that's
going to
be November 5th through 7th, I believe. Tamara and I will be there. Check out our social media, either our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter accounts. We'll be talking about it at KY Taste Buds. We'll give you all the information, but you got to get there if you haven't been there before.
That's right. That's right. All right. So we're talking, the show's today is called The Real McCoy, which kind of infers that, you know, some things are real and some things are fake. Well, one thing I can't stand is a thief.
Yeah.
I hate
a thief.
Well,
maybe a
thief's mom. I don't know. I don't
know. A thief who's benefiting from the thievery.
Yeah. But, you know, identity theft is such a prevalent thing in our society right now.
Yeah.
And, I think in 2018, I've got a stat here, the Federal Trade Commission processed 1.4 million fraud reports, and it totaled a whopping $1.48 billion in losses.
Yeah.
So do you know anybody, have you had your identity stolen?
Not that I know of, but I don't keep a close eye on it. But I dated somebody in college who you remember.
Yeah.
It was my college sweetheart. And actually somebody stole his ID, his college ID, his student ID.
Yeah.
And back in that day, they had your social security number on it. They don't do that anymore. They don't even put it on your license. Yeah. And he went to go apply for a job and they said, I'm sorry, you can't get this job. And he said, well, may I ask why? And they said, well, you lied on your application. And he said, I did? And they said, yeah, because you've been to jail and you didn't reveal it. And he's like, I haven't been to jail. Well, come to find out, somebody had stolen that student ID, committed, I believe it was arsony, like in Colorado or somewhere crazy, served time under his name. And it took a long time to get that corrected.
I bet it did.
So, and that was back probably 20 years ago. So we've come a long way since then.
Yeah.
With
the types
of crime there is.
Yeah. Well, so people set up fake accounts, loans, mortgages, credit cards. All of that has gone up. It's up to like 79%. Let's see. Up to 13%. Takeovers of businesses. Wait a minute. I'm not reading this completely wrong. Let me start over. See, I told you we're going to have...
We're flustered today.
We're having issues. This is an issue.
We need a producer. Where's our producer?
Curtis.
Curtis. Running the show.
Yeah. Account takeovers of businesses is up 79%. That's the stat I wanted to give you. But the worst is yet to come.
Well, and here's the thing. The reason we wanted to talk about this is because scams are happening all over the place.
Sure, every day.
And during the holidays, which we're approaching that season, they're up 30%.
Yeah.
So,
it's prime
with
time.
Identity theft being obviously one of those scams. Mm-hmm. But you're right, Tamara. There's something about to go down that I did not know about until we read about this.
Yeah. So you remember the Y2K thing?
How could I forget?
Well, I did totally forget about it until we started doing the research for the show. But so in 2038, you all, this is what's going to happen. It's very similar to the problem that we had or didn't have.
Yeah.
I don't know if anything actually happened with that.
Yeah, but I'm not either.
There's an issue with the timestamp that computers use, the date and the time. Well, that started January 1st, 1970, when the computers originated. That ends in 2038. So at that point, they're saying that the computers are not going to know what to do, that they're going to need an extra byte of whatever, that's BYTE.
Yeah, not good. Yeah.
To preserve their timing system. So they're saying it could be a logistical nightmare. Your private information could become public. Hackers are just going to have a field day. I mean, should we just run for the hills?
It just sounds so scary, but I'm thinking we got till 2038. Somebody's hopefully on it. Hopefully they're taking care of it.
And we'll be too old. We won't care.
We probably won't even be having computers in 2038, right?
We'll have chips in our arms.
Yeah. Oh, something happened with our cord there.
Don't touch the cords. Sorry.
This is just a bumble. Well, I can't say that word.
Yeah.
But we're just having all kinds of technical difficulties.
Yeah. So you're going to ask who is at the biggest risk for identity theft. So who would you think is the biggest group of people that are targeted?
I don't know if this is a group of people, but I think the people that are just very forthright and giving of information.
Trusting people.
Yes, trusting people. That's a good group of people.
And so I would have said the elderly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Again, because they're trusting.
There you go.
Yeah, and they're not really computer savvy.
Right.
But gosh, the criminals have gotten so good that really anybody that opens an email is probably the ideal target.
That's true.
Here's one you may not know. Children. They say children are targeted by criminals because they have such a clean slate with their credit.
Yeah.
And so the advice here is to get credit reports on your kids.
That's scary. Because I guess it would take a while to find that out.
Yeah, they wouldn't know till your kid goes off to get maybe college
loan.
Or something.
Yeah. And, this is not trying to stereotype, but the elderly are the ones that kind of still have landlines. Does your parents have landlines?
They do have a landline.
Okay. Mine finally got rid of theirs.
Did they?
But a lot of scammers call landlines more so than cell phones, although that's starting to increase as well.
Yeah.
And then they scare the heck out of the elderly people and end up getting information. This happened to my ex-father-in-law. He would get calls and saying, something's wrong with your computer and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
We need the information. And he was like, oh, okay.
Right.
I had no idea there's something wrong with my computer.
Yeah. People don't know. And so they just fall for it.
Yeah.
So I guess we have some tips we can give people.
Yeah.
Steps to take, if you have,
Miss
something?
You missed something.
Oh, well, you do it.
Okay. Well, criminals are also targeting ghosting.
Oh,
deceased.
The
and
dead.
And they're calling it the ghosting. Yeah.
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 So.
Sorry, I just thought that was interesting. We should get that in there.
Yeah. No, that is. That's another very targeted group. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you know that there's a 23% increase in social media identity theft? Now, this has happened to my dad. I know it's probably happened to many of you.
What happened?
You get that Facebook request from so-and-so. Well, you're already friends with them, but you don't realize that. So you click, of course, I want to be friends with so-and-so. And come to find out it's a fake account.
Well, and I'll tell you, I have a hard time with this too, because being Kentucky Taste Buds, we get a lot of requests for friends, and I try to accommodate, because I don't put tons and tons of personal information about myself out there on Facebook, but sometimes I don't know, and so sometimes I accept, or I think, oh, do I know that person? Because they're connected to these 62 other people. I should know them.
Right.
And then I click it yes, and it's a spam account.
Yeah. Which, and again, I don't know what the purpose of that. I don't know what these criminals get out of taking over someone's Facebook account.
Yeah.
But, you know, is it money? I don't know how that works. But anyway, I guess they're smarter than me because I haven't figured that out yet. But always be wary of friend requests.
Yeah. And we did a poll on Twitter and asked our average follower how many had, or not average follower. I don't know what that even means to say an average follower. What they have, they've been a victim of identity theft. And I believe 46% said yes, they had.
Yeah, it was almost
That's
half.
Crazy.
Yeah, that was really, That's that scary. Was shocking.
Does that surprise you?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it was shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we do have some good news. Kentucky is ranked 46th in the country for identity theft, meaning we're on the bottom of the poll.
And that's a list we want to be at the bottom.
Yes. Yes.
So we're all for that. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, now we're going to give some tips.
Yeah. So here's some tips to help you all and to help ourselves. If you've been a victim of identity theft, this is what you need to do. You need to notify your banks and your creditors immediately. There are some laws that can protect you, which that's good news. You can put a fraud alert on your credit report. I think people don't really know about this one.
Yeah.
But let your credit report agencies know, and that way they can stop future activity.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you got to check your credit report. Do you ever do that? Have you ever
You're
done
supposed
it?
To do it yearly. I had never checked my credit report until I started going through my divorce. And then I was like,
right.
I wonder what my credit report
is. Yeah, I have no idea.
So now I do. And I signed up. I think I use Credit Karma. I mean, this isn't an ad for Credit Karma, but I think that's who I'm signed up with now.
So do you get an alert if somebody does something funny on your account?
You can pay and have that as a option. But I just go every year and check it and see what it is. And then they, you know, I like getting their emails because they'll say, Tamara, your new credit score, you're a baller.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's
so I like getting those little positive emails. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Well, another thing you want to do if you have a credit issue, somebody stolen your identity, freeze your credit. It'll lock down all your credit information. So if they try to sign up for a new credit card or get a new loan, it'll prevent that from happening.
Yeah. And then last, report your identity theft to the FTC. That's the Federal Trade Commission. By doing so, they will send you a recovery plan and identity theft report. And that serves as proof that your identity has been stolen. So that's what you can take to banks or creditors or whatever and say, hey, that wasn't me. Yeah. And it's like proof.
I hope it never happens because it sounds like it's a pain. We had some followers, the average follower on Twitter.
Our average follower.
A couple of them wrote in and talked about one had their bank account wiped out 3 weeks before Christmas.
Yeah.
They were broke.
Oh,
and, I mean, that
so
would just
scary.
Be heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And a lot of credit cards and banks, if you have so much money with them or a certain type of account, you're protected.
Yes.
But this guy was not.
Yeah.
And so that's scary.
And you should always use credit instead of debit because
I always do.
Yeah. Those purchases can be recouped. Whereas if it's debit, you cannot recoup that is my understanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about another deceitful action, another fraud that's perpetrated on the American society.
Yes.
This is called catfishing.
Oh.
Now I like to go catfishing, but this isn't what we're talking about. And it's really one of the biggest forms of deceivery. That's a word that we made up, deceivery.
Yeah, I like
that
word.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's where one person poses to be someone he or she is not in an effort to manipulate or swindle someone. In fact, 1 in 7 dating profiles are fake.
Wow.
According to the Better Business Bureau. That 1 in 7.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
But to me, when I see them, because I've been on the, I mean, I'm not currently on the dating apps, but I was a couple of years ago after I got a divorce. And they just seem so obvious to me.
Well, but you're smarter than the average bear.
Well, I am smarter than the average Twitter follower. And I'm just kidding. I'm going to keep coming back to that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think it's not about being smart. It's about common sense.
Well, but when you're looking for love, you look kind of lose your common sense because you're so desperate for love.
And of course, you've never been. Why are you laughing?
It's just funny. You're so desperate for love.
I mean, obviously, we've never been catfished, but we know somebody who's really, we will not say, we'll protect this person.
Well, yes.
But that was so crazy. They went through a love affair with somebody that was fake.
Yes.
And they were heartbroken.
Heartbroken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really destroyed them.
And so it can happen. I mean, you know, and this is a smart person. This isn't a dumb person.
But he was, he or she was desperately
wanting
in,
love.
Yes.
In all the wrong places. Yeah.
We better get off that before we reveal who it is.
Yeah. So what do you think is the state with the highest reporting of catfishing?
Well, I forgot to write this down, but luckily I remember.
Oh, good.
It was Alaska.
That's right.
Yes.
Because we were like, there's probably only four people in Alaska. How is
this
happening?
All kinds of problems. Because remember a couple of weeks ago when we started talking about them being, they were the ones that had, what, the most, oh, the most murders of women.
Alaska?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you would think they would need women up there because there's, like, well, they're all men.
Well, maybe they're getting mad because they're all catfishing.
Catfishing. Yeah, it could
all
be.
All three of them.
It could be.
Yeah. And they've got a big drinking problem up there, I've read.
Well, because it's dark a lot and cold. Yeah. Yeah.
No women.
Yeah. So it's Kentucky terrible. Isn't high up on the list of catfishing reports. So either we're unattractive.
No, we're
Or we have really smart people. I'm going to choose to believe that we have really smart people in Kentucky, and that's why we're can't be duped.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, well, I think this was fun talking about dating scams,
yeah.
So let's continue to do it.
Go for it.
So here's some tips on how to avoid being catfished.
Yes, and you're the expert.
Well, yeah.
Tell
I've
us.
I've got some facts written down here. For you to read. You can read them, too.
Why don't
you get us started off?
All right, well, here's one that I know. You know, if their profile pic looks like they're a model,
yes.
So if it is Bradley Cooper,
yes.
Chances are it's not the real Bradley Cooper.
Now, I have had several of those on, and they always start off the same way. Hello, dear.
Hello, dear.
We've talked about this. Hello, dear.
Yes.
Anybody who calls me dear is a catfish.
Yeah.
Nobody refers to anybody as dear anymore.
No. It
unless
can't
it's
be,
your granny.
It can't be real.
No, it's not real.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two. I love this one. If they're in the military and they're overseas, what are you doing?
Right.
I'm like, I'm sorry. Aren't you like in the middle of combat or something right now?
Yeah.
But you're just reaching out to some lonely Kentucky girl. I don't buy it.
Right. Don't
People
buy
don't
that.
Buy it.
No.
It's full of crap.
Don't fall for it.
No.
Here's another key. If they want to move the conversation to another app, so say they message you in Facebook, but now all of a sudden they want to text you in Skype, you know, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. So don't do it. Don't fall for that.
Yeah. I that's totally weird. I actually had somebody do that too. I started talking to somebody again a couple years ago, and I think they wanted to go to, what was it? Google something. I had to go to this platform and
that's
just very fishy. And I'm like, no.
If it smells like a fish and walks like a fish, oh, that's a duck. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, here's another thing. Now, if they profess love right away, unless it's, of course, me, because I'm very lovable.
And people would definitely fall in love with you at first sight.
Yeah. Don't believe it, because here's the thing. Love does not happen in 10 minutes, and it doesn't happen sight unseen.
Right.
Always make sure you see a person. Make sure they're tangible.
Live.
You can touch
in
them.
In the flesh.
In the flesh.
From head to toe, not just neck up. That's another
I don't
key.
Know where you would see somebody just from the neck up.
Like on Skype.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing them, but you're
not
seeing
the,
them.
What could be wrong?
You want to know what's going on from the neck down.
Oh, all right.
Don't you?
Of course
you do. Yeah. How about if they want to meet you, but something always comes up? Now, we know somebody that this happens to.
Who?
I'll tell you later.
Oh.
But you, really?
Yeah. Okay. Go with what you're saying, and then I'll see if I can remember.
So they'll just say, you know, let's go on a date. How about next Friday? Well, then they call you next Friday, and they're like, oh, my granny died.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, you know, so you reschedule. Well, then their aunt dies.
Yeah.
And so then at some point, you're like, I mean, are you the most unlucky person on the face of the planet, or is there something else going on here? Chances are they're not who they say they are. You are being catfished.
Right, right. I can't believe people buy this.
Yeah.
I mean, excuse after excuse. If someone's professed love, then they say their granny's died, I'm like, okay, well, where's the funeral?
I'll come.
So I can send at a minimum, send flowers.
Sure.
Yeah.
That'd be a way to catch them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, last but not least, on this note, if they say they have money issues, Of course they do.
Of course they do.
Because they're scamming you, people. They're scamming you. Don't ever, ever, ever send money to anybody you haven't met, unless it's Tamara and I at info@kytastebuds.com.
That's right.
Because we'll do something good with your money.
Yeah.
But
we'll have a good dinner. We'll have a good night out. All kinds of good stuff.
So people are not who they say they are. It's the real McCoy we're talking about.
Yeah.
The real deal.
You want the real deal.
Yeah, you want the real deal. Just like your bourbon.
Absolutely.
So, you know, some whiskey, or people pose it as bourbon, but it's just whiskey.
Right.
And bourbon is whiskey, but whiskey is not bourbon.
All bourbon is not No, all bourbon is whiskey. Is.
Yeah. You're trying to repeat after me. All bourbon is whiskey.
Yeah, but not...
Whiskey is not bourbon.
No, bourbon is a type of whiskey.
I just said that. Not. I said bourbon is whiskey. Maybe not all bourbon, but bourbon is whiskey. Whiskey
right.
is not bourbon.
Well, no.
Whiskey is not bourbon.
Okay. You're right.
Am I?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
All right.
Yeah. So you definitely want the real McCoy there.
Yeah. And we know where to go. You go to Wilderness Trail Distillery. They're located in Danville, Kentucky. And what?
Yeah. We were just there.
We were. We had the chili cook-off contest. You all have heard us talk about this forever. We had, what, 16 chilies
we ate? A lot of chili was consumed.
It's so good. But the problem I had is that they hand you these little cups, like
yes.
Dixie cups. And so the chili's so good that, like, the first one, I'm, like, eating the whole cup.
Yeah.
The second one, I'm eating the whole cup. The
yeah.
third one, I'm eating. By the end, I was like, okay, I'll just take two bites of that.
Can I just look at it?
Which I still, I mean, it didn't deter me from picking a winner.
Oh, yeah.
But I just, by the end of the day, I was pretty sick.
Yeah, we had a lot to
we
eat.
Had a lot of chili.
They should have a third, or not a third, but another booth there for Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah.
I keep saying that every year. That
yeah.
No one has
listened.
Picked up on that. I think it would be genius. But anyway, great turnout. You all need to plan to do that next year if you've never been. It's fantastic. So much fun.
One of the things that we love about Wilderness Trail Distillery, despite their weeded and rye whiskey, I mean bourbon, guy, you know, I'm saying whiskey now. It's fantastic, but they just do so much for the community. They're always having barbecues or outings or music or yoga on their site. It's beautiful. They just got written up in USA Today.
Yes.
About what a great facility they are, and they're getting ready to go from the craft bourbon tour
mm-hmm.
to the big boys.
The Bourbon Trail. Right.
So we're so excited for them. You got to check them out at wildernesstraildistillery.com.
That's right.
Okay, we're going to round out this show with talking about the top scams of 2019 because we've talked about one of them, which is really identity theft.
Yeah.
And we talked about catfishing. So it's called romance and ruses or sextortion,
yeah.
where people are doing these crazy things and then they're trying to extort you.
Right.
They're trying to get your money.
Yeah.
So we don't really need to say anything more about that.
Right.
But that is one of the continued biggest scams out there for 2019.
Absolutely. Because again, we're all so hungry for love. Just don't look for it in the wrong places and be very cautious. Move slowly, proceed with caution, keep your guard up.
Right.
It's all good.
Right.
All right. Well, here's another one. Tech support scams. This is one I frequently encounter. I don't know why. I guess it depends on the websites I'm visiting, which they're not anything, you know, inappropriate. So don't start thinking that. But I'll get a pop-up message and it will say, Microsoft has detected a issue with your whatever, and it locks you out of your browser. So you can't click on anything. Nothing will work. And it says, call this number and get support. So what happens when you call that number, somebody's going to say, oh, well, let me either remote into your computer.
Dangerous.
Don't ever do that.
Yeah.
Or if you sign up for this package, whatever, we will take care of your issue. So you send them some money.
So what did you do?
Well, I contacted our friend James.
Oh, yeah.
Who we ran into at Keeneland yesterday. Hey, James, if you're listening, he's the sweetest guy, and he's a big IT guy. He has a Twitter handle. It's called KY Tech NATO, like a tornado, but it's Tech NATO,
mm-hmm.
KY Tech NATO. And so I messaged him. I was like, and I sent him a screenshot. I'm like, what is going on? He's like, hit Control Alt Escape, maybe, and it brings up your task manager.
Control Alt Delete.
No, I don't think it's Control Alt. Maybe. One of those. And then it brings up your task manager, and then you click on your task manager and hit close that program that's running.
Yeah.
And then you're good to go.
Or you can turn off your computer.
No, I've done that before. I've tried that. The first time it happened.
One?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first time it happened, that's what I was like, shut it all down. Shut it all down. You know, unplugged it.
Yeah.
The whole.
I always do that before.
But when I've
had them where you can't even control it, delete, and get your task manager.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Well, that luckily, not
then
again,
my system got attacked. And so I had
okay.
It really, because sometimes if you even push on those browsers and push a link or anything, it'll like. Don't ever download or push a link of something that you're not familiar with. And I'll tell you another big scam where that's concerned. I'm sure you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it happened to you the other day. But we never did confirm where you get emails from people you know. And then it says, oh, I was reading this article and thought you would like it or something like that. And you click on the link, you're essentially downloading a virus.
Exactly.
To your computer.
Yeah, so don't ever do that. I know another probably one that's going around right now is you will get in Messenger, Facebook Messenger. It will be a message from someone that you know, and they will say, "Oh, I saw this video. Yep. This is you?
Yes.
I can't believe this is you."
Yes.
And so you're like, "Oh my God, is there like Spring Break 1989 out there somewhere?" Video, yeah. Click, and right. Then you've got a virus.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Or I don't know what happened.
Yeah, that happened to me. Yeah. And then another one I've had, and this is creepy. It's really trying to bribe you and extort you. It says, "We have," because I remember I contacted
you. Oh, yeah.
It says, "We have video footage of you watching basically inappropriate videos."
Yes.
"And if you don't," and then they go on to say, like, it was about children or something weird.
Right.
Like, it's very weird.
Yeah.
"And then if you don't send us $1,000 immediately, we will take this video of you watching it and go viral."
Right.
Which, of course, I knew that was a scam because I don't do anything like that. But
yeah,
it was just weird.
Because you hear about people can access your computer through your webcam.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you're like, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Maybe they're going to, yeah. You know, you just don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, who's paying $1,000 for this? I mean, to these people.
I don't know. It's so scary. Yeah.
Okay. So the third one, you want to go ahead and talk about the third one too? Where is the third one?
I don't know. We lost the third one. Number four on the list is the fake family emergency.
Yes.
And I think this is a popular one, especially with the elderly. You'll get a message from, someone, and they'll act like they're a family member, and they'll say, "Well, I've been arrested. I'm in Puerto Rico. I need you to send money."
They'll even act like they're at the hospital, like not even you. Like it would be a doctor calling and saying, "This is Dr. So and so. We have Tamara Snyder here in the emergency room. We've got to do a procedure. We need $1,000. That would be awful.
Yes, because you'd be freaked out, and you would want to help, but you wouldn't know what. Be wary. Just hang up.
And I just found the third one. The third one's basically just saying, watch out for the fake websites that are out there because they've gotten really, really good.
Oh,
and a big scam now is, you know how everything you go and view, like while you're shopping at Amazon, then you're on Facebook and 3 seconds later an ad pops up for that same thing that you're looking
creepy.
At. Well, what's happened now is say you're looking at a sweater at White House Black Market. Then the next day you go and you're on Facebook and it says, this sweater is now on sale 50% off. And you're like, okay, now I'm getting it.
Right.
You click on that link. It's not even related to White House Black Market. It takes you to another site that looks just like White House Black Market.
Yeah, it's
and it's
fake.
A fake site.
Fake.
They'll take
fake,
your money.
Fake.
Yes.
Yeah.
So be careful.
Yeah. Be careful.
Yeah.
Always verify through an additional source before you send money. Again, unless it's to info@kytastebuds.com, because that's legit.
Yeah.
And just in time for the holidays, this is kind of a scary one. So it targets people looking for a job. You know, they're really scammers out there, and they are eager to take advantage of you if you're in the, you know, market for a job. So what they do is they lure you into a potential job. They will say, okay, fill out this application. Of course, it has all of your information, sometimes your social security number, your birth date, your address, all of that stuff. You think you're applying for a job. Well, it's fake. And so then they steal your identity. So be very wary of these types of jobs. They're usually work from home type of jobs. So always verify, you know, Better Business Bureau. You can check them out. Call the office number. Make sure they're a legitimate service.
Yeah, guys. Nothing ever worth having in life comes easy.
No.
If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Everything takes time.
Yeah.
Including barbecue.
Yes.
Really good barbecue.
Oh.
Must be slow cooked to perfection. And we know just the place that does it. It's called Shack in the Back. They're located in Fairdale, Kentucky.
Yeah.
How come when I look at you, I just like get flustered?
Well, stop looking at me. I'll put a piece
like,
of paper.
I don't know. Like she's staring at me with her eyes.
Because I'm like googly-eyed about barbecue. I'm thinking about that burgoo and the potato salad, the brisket.
The pork, the chicken. It goes on and on. But they do. They smoke it for like something crazy, like 12 or 14 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And then they put that delicious barbecue sauce on it, which is the white lightning.
White lightning.
Which our favorite. But they've got several kinds. They got sweet, they got spicy, they have all kinds. And then of course they have the famous peanut butter pie that I'm going to serve sometime at Tamara's wedding, her birthday, something, because that's like your favorite dessert of all time, she said.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I'm really excited because we'll talk about that in the hot bud segment.
Yeah.
Well, because we know somebody who went and visited Shack in the Back, thanks to
our recommendation. Oh, wow. Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Awesome.
So we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
So please check them out at shackinthebackbarbecue.com.
That's right. So now it is time for our Hot Buds of the Week. Hello. Hoorah! Woo!
Boom. We did it on behalf of Curtis.
You're welcome, Curtis.
Yeah, we don't have 5 minutes with Cutie Patootie.
Yeah, which I don't think he listens to it anyway.
Technically, but you've had an hour with Cutie Patootie, if I say so myself.
Oh, that's true. I have. I'm so lucky.
Yeah.
Well, our first Hot Bud of the Week is Keith at Blue4_Life1. In response to our Kiss 96.9 video, he said, support these fine Kentucky ambassadors, which, aw, super sweet.
I just love that. Yeah.
And then our friend Bert at K9AYL Bert, who is one of our favorite Hot Buzz, he said, we will be listening as we travel back through your fine state. We stopped at Shack in the Back Barbecue a little while ago, and that was based on our recommendation, and that just warms our hearts.
It does. So we've got people calling us Kentucky ambassadors, which we aspire
love,
to be.
Love.
We've got people listening to us on the radio show, like Bert, we love, and his
love.
Wife.
Yeah.
And he's been, I think this is the second time he's been a Hot Bud, but he's deserved
it. He deserves it. Yeah, he's amazing.
A loyal fan. We love him. Okay, the second Hot Bud of the week comes from First Kentucky Trust at First KY Trust. They said, thanks for the follow, you guys. We love you.
Oh.
They didn't have to say that.
No, they could have just said, thanks for the follow.
Yeah, but they said, we love you.
That's the extra.
That's the extra. That deserves a Hot Bud mention, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So they are the Hot Buds of the week. And guys, at First Kentucky Trust, we love you too.
Oh.
We do.
So sweet.
Okay, and now our third Hot Bud is going to be kind of a couple of people on our Twitter account, because we thought it would be fun. So we have this little thing. There's one particular Hot Bud who calls Tamer out a lot and says, you look like this person or you look like this person. It's Scott Watts.
Scott Watts.
We love you, Scott. And he says who I look like from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But we always have this controversy. Who do we really look like? And probably overwhelmingly, I get the most that I look like Amy Schumer.
Yes.
And you know, I don't like that.
You hate that. And I don't understand why. I think she's beautiful.
I think she's attractive. I would not say she's beautiful.
Well,
I don't think I'm beautiful. I think there are things that look like us, but when I look side by side, I would not get that
it.
I look like it.
Yeah. Well, what were some of the other suggestions that people made?
So here's what people said about us, and some that I do like.
Okay.
So Big Papa Grizz at Big Pop Pag.
Yeah.
I guess that's how you say it. And he's been a Hot Bud of ours. He's one of our favorites. He said, I look like Meg Ryan.
Oh, that's a good one.
So much better than Amy Schumer. And you look like
Meg.
Gina Davis.
Yeah, see, I don't see that as much.
I don't see it as much, but she's beautiful.
Oh, I agree.
But and honestly, I don't think I look a whole lot like Meg Ryan, but
no,
I'll take
it. I could see it.
I just think we're both that kind of personality.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know what that personality
is.
Yeah,
exactly. But. You want to expound on that?
Now, this one I have heard before. You're going to laugh at
this.
I have been told that I look like a younger Heather Locklear.
Yes.
Which I hope so.
Yeah.
That
is
a huge compliment.
Yeah.
And I don't think I look like her.
And yeah, I can see
we
it.
We hear this one about you all the time. And I do believe it's true. Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
Who's absolutely stunning.
Oh, I love Anne Hathaway.
She's beautiful.
I love her movies.
Yeah.
I think she's fantastic.
Now, I don't think you look like her the most, but I definitely see the resemblance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
yeah,
you have a lot
passing
of
resemblance.
Yes.
In a dark room.
Okay. And then Paul Skaggs says Tam is like Kate Beckinsale, which is gorgeous.
Yeah, and I don't see that one at all either.
Well, what's funny is Scott Watts one time told me that I look like Kate Beckinsale when she had blonde hair in some
blonde,
movie.
Blonde, yeah.
Yeah, so we're both, and we don't look anything alike.
Yeah,
so.
I think that's a push.
Okay.
I was
also told that I look like a young Goldie Hawn.
Oh, yeah.
I don't look like Goldie Hawn, but I think our personalities.
I think
just a blonde, bubbly person is who you
right.
think of.
Yeah. Because that affects the way how you perceive someone's beauty, I think, is largely a part of their personality.
Yes. And then I really liked this one by John at JD. And by the way, the last one I was talking about was Eric Skaggs. This was from John at JDW9278. He said, I don't think you guys look as much like these two, but you remind me of them. Cagney and Lacey.
Oh.
I love that.
Yeah. That was a bad show. I love those women.
Yeah. So those are great compliments.
But that was a fun thing to talk about. Doppelgangers.
Oh, hold on. I'm not done, honey.
Oh,
you look like Wonder Woman.
Linda Carter.
She's gorgeous.
Oh,
I see that.
Oh.
Dr. Golf, a psychologist, said that.
Yeah.
And then I was also told I look like Blair from The Facts of Life
yes,
by him.
I could see that.
I could see that a little bit.
Yep.
And then I also love that Debonair Hustler, who's been a Hot Bud, said that you look like Mary Poppins. which I then had to send him the picture where you were dressed up like Mary Poppins.
Well, maybe that's why he said that, because you saw our Halloween picture from last year where I was dressed up like Mary Poppins.
No, because he just started following us this year.
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah. And then there's the one person over and over you heard, which I do think is probably the person you look very much like. And you said it was Hope from like one of the.
Kristen. I forget her last name. She plays Hope on Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
You look a lot like her. I looked her picture up. You do look like her.
Yeah. Which, again, she's beautiful. So
for future reference, anybody.
Don't say she looks like Amy Schumer.
I'm still smarting off that every time.
Don't say it.
Don't say it.
Don't
even if you're thinking it.
Yeah, that's fun. That's a fun topic. Yep. So, I mean, this was a great episode of The Real McCoy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like we should say The Real McCoy / Hatfield. I don't want to leave out the Hatfields.
I know.
I don't like that.
Well,
does the Hatfields have their own little idiom?
Well, actually, The Real McCoy is not a. That's not based on the Hatfield and McCoy. No, that's a completely separate phrase.
Of course, you would know that.
Yeah, I looked it up because I wanted to know.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with the Hatfield and McCoys.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, I got so excited about that.
Yeah.
That's it for this week's episode. Make sure that you follow us at kytastebuds.com, our website. That's where we put all of our blog posts on there. And we're getting ready to launch our holiday hot list.
Yay!
And if you don't know what this is where we come up with 50 Kentucky-based products or services or places, experiences. And we kind of like put it on a list similar to Oprah's favorite things. And so if you have a product or a service and you want us to feature you on our holiday hot list, email us at info@kytastebuds.com and we will get that together very soon. So be on the lookout for that. And make sure that you're subscribed to our e-newsletter at kytastebuds.com. Click the subscribe button. And remember, listen to us every Saturday morning from 10 to 2 on KISS 96.9. Have a great week.
Bye, guys.